Randella?
Good morning, good afternoon.
Hello.
How are you, Connie?
Good.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Kedula Chimincha, Tatir, Sera, Alfred Gimel, Yutap Sadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagvenu, Pacharenu, No. Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun. Nagibor, Dorshe Yehudha, Kivavat, Sham Reng. Nun Gimel Dalet, Yitkav Shin. Barchem Tacharem, Rakame Sitkacha, Tamid. Lane. Petet Resh, Saditat Gimel. Hasin Kadosh, Berov Tuvcha, Nael Adatach, Petkufet, Tet Nunayan. Yahid Gea, Lamcha Pene, Zokre Kiddushatach. Yud Gimelamet, Pei Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Talumot, Shin Kufav, Zadi Yud Tav. We brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. Utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'Chanun, Eres Apayin, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, Notzer Chesed La'alafim, Nosea on Wafesha, Vesata'a Vinake. We'll now connect to the energy of certainty utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It's from Parashah Yitro, Pasuk 29, and we'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud, Kutsha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bit Himu, Urhimud, Hilud, Hilu, Urhimu. Ve'yachda l'shem yud hei b'vav hei, v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah, v'yehi no'am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei adenu konenei, aleinu ma'asei adenu konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar, b'kama atar ta'neinam, Kuchabariku Kama Diaved Leela Witata Kolaihu Kishokyovada Dikshot Bele Lachmila Bialma Divaye Barnash Ledahya Leya Mineya Ulanhaga Heya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada Bigshot Inun Wikola Itzirich Bialma. The energy of the year 5778, our current year, is to bow to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6.
Vayishkav Amnon vayitchal vayavo Hamelech liroto vayomer Amnon El Hamelech tavo na tamar achoti udlabev Le'enei shetei levivot v'evre miyada.
The second verse is from Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Het. The letters of this name are separated by three letters each.
Chatati odiacha wawoni lo kisiti amarti ode ale peshai la donai yo he wahe weata nasata awon chatati.
The year 5777, the year of the goat, also the year of the wake-up. There are two verses that connect to this energy as well. The first is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52.
Sod saduni katsipor oyevai chinam.
When we take the first letters of these words, we have tzatzki ah, which translates as appears like brothers. When we take the final letters, we create dir yam, which translates as a sea of tempests. The second verse is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. These letters are separated by seven letters each.
Kim va'adonai yo-he-wa-he Elohechem tadevaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh.
The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, there are two verses that connect to this energy as well. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34.
Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehavshit et kol haolot vayahaskum achechem halevim ad kelot hamlacha biad yitkachu hakohanim ki halevim yishre levav lehitkadesh.
There are 25 words that connect to this verse. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai, Yohewahe, Lalahe, Wawawa, Yolayo, Alame, Hey, 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 Ata'a, Reitaha. The second verse we study is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bithu Adonai, Yohewahe, Ade, Ad. Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Surolami. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo tishemimeni. Lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. Next, we study 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Mikol Asher Sham Yashtel. Baretz v'chipasti, oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach, yoved ro'av, yomru ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakan ta'ata v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto kasher barishona. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. We do this by saying each letter with its root vowel in sequence.
Wahe wayo layo sayote alame mehe shi la lahe aka aka heta. Hezayo alada la awa he hea yozala me behe e reo he kome ba awa kalayo la wawa pe he la nula ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa yuta he he a yo eta shi a he. Re yo yo awa me lakabe washi re yo he wa la he he kawako me nuda anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he he a he a me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa la he a re yo. Ashi la me yo he, wa he wa dai nu yo, he he shi a me me, nu nu wa nu yo ta, me be he, he wa yo, nu me me yo yo la, he re he, me tsa re, yo me be yo he he, a nu wa pe, me he yo, ka me be me nu ko, a yo wa he bkam wa. Hey, hey, yo, be, me, hey, yo, yo, me, wa, me.
The 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim, we utilize the same tool.
Wa, 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 yo, 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 sa, be, te, a, me. Me, be, shi, la, yo, hey, anu, wa, ka, me, ta. Hey, hey, yo, anu, da, la, hey, wa, yo, hey, me, ah, Yotza la me re he, ayo yo he me me. La wa wa ka be yo, la yo wa te na. Te nu la, nu me ka yo ke yo, me nu he, se he wa. Nu yo he, he shi ya, yo re ta, shi ya he. Re la yo, awa me, la yo be, wa he re. Yo yo wa la he he ka ako me nu da. Anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za. He shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he. Sa a la a re yo a la me ta he. Wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me. Nu he a nu wa. Ta me la he be a yo. Nu ko me yo re la he be he me zai re. Wa he be yo a he a la wa me zai yo. Sa he be me ka fo a la a te se wa. Re la he yo yo me he lo he la yo me he me. We're now going to connect to the Ma meditation, which we do between Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Yo Ada, Yo Ada, Hey Ada, Yo Ada, Hey Awa, Awa, Yo Ada, Hey Awa, Awa, Hey Ada. Yo wada, yo wada, hey ah, yo wada, hey ah, wa awa, yo wada, hey ah, wa awa, hey ah, yo wada, yo wada, hey ah, yo wada, hey ah, wa awa, yo wada, hey ah, wa awa, hey ah. Yo wada, yo wada, hey ah, yo wada, hey ah, wa awa, yo wada, hey ah, wa awa, hey ah. Yo wada, yo wada, hey ah, yo wada, hey ah, wa awa, yo wada, hey ah, wa awa, hey ah. The Sadiqim who left this day, the 15th day of the month of Elul, the full moon day, which will happen around 3 o'clock this afternoon. Rabbi Moshe Alshachar, Rabbi Chanoch Agis of Vilna, Rabbi Yaakov Kopel, the Chassid, he is the son, the ben of Rabbi Nehemiah Feivel, and the Tzaddikim who chose to leave tonight, the 16th day, Rabbi Yitzhak HaKohen Shapiro, Rabbi Abraham Avigdor Nochum of Striko, he is the son of Rabbi Yitzhak Dan Landau, and Rabbi Yehi Shneor. And the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class is continuing our preparation for the Tishrei holidays. Today we were starting on Yom Rosh Hashanah. If we can find the handout on the unique astrological events link underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage. Please scroll down till you see the Torah Secrets by Rabbi Ariel Bar Sadak of Kosher Torah. That when that link opens up, please scroll down to page 30. This is going to require quite a bit of commentary, and I hope to have enough time, especially since I was late getting
getting the meeting programmed into the system. So I apologize to you. And so we may be finding ourselves running quite a bit over. The title of the session, and I'm getting a lot of static, so I'm going to mute the phone. If you have questions, and I hope you do, please, at any time, press star 6, and you'll be able to be heard and ask your question. The title of this essay is Torah Secrets of Rosh Hashanah and the Shofar. Subtitle: Astrology, Kabbalah, M Theory, Quantum Physics, and the Sefer Yetzirah. In this essay, Rabbi Bar Sadok equates some of modern physics, or explains some of modern physics, along with natural laws. It's well worth listening to, although it may be a little complex, and I will try and explain it as we go along. Everyone knows that we are subject to the laws of nature. There is no getting away from them, no matter how hard we try. No one will jump off a high building and expect not to fall. No one will stand in front of a fast-moving vehicle and expect not to be hit. We all have relatively certain expectations of what we can expect from natural law, and we live or die accordingly. I believe we all acknowledge that as evident truth. Even in a very specific way, if we think about it, this is a commentary, unwritten commentary. If we think about it, we have farmers. If they plant in the wrong season, we're going to starve. Why? Because we're going against natural law. Natural law has been observed since the moment of Adam's creation. But we, in our modern technology, are far from that observation. But the centuries have provided us the observations of natural law. And we still are observing it, even if we seem to be in the illusion, far from actually being able to observe it. Now let us ask you this. What are the parameters and the boundaries of natural law? The examples I just gave, we all agree upon. Yet how far does the influence and power of natural law extend? We know that the entire universe, planets, galaxies, and even space itself are all part of greater nature, and therefore subject to natural law. Just as we are here on our minuscule and insignificant little planet Earth. Have you ever considered the relationship of natural law as it affects the universe and natural law as it affects us here on Earth? You might entertain the thought for a moment and then dismiss it because it is far too vast a consideration. And after all, who knows enough about science to tell us about any or all of the intricate natural law involvements and relationships that we human beings here on Earth share with the universe at large? True, modern science may not have all these answers just yet. However, ancient science revealed some information about our human interactions with universal natural laws that are radically profound and extremely relevant, especially at this time of year. The ancient science of which I speak is Torah. The one universal natural law I wish to address now, we call Rosh Hashanah. Let me reread that, because it's a profound statement. The one universal natural law I wish to address now, we call Rosh Hashanah. Of course, none of us have ever thought that a Jewish holiday is a natural law. But let us learn more. For most people, there are topics, these are topics of religion and totally devoid of science. Yet the opposite is true. There is no word for religion anywhere in the Torah. Rosh Hashanah, while it is observed with certain rituals described as religious, is actually the marking of an astronomical alignment of the earth in space. At this interaction with specific stars, whence this interaction occurs, it occurs with specific stars. We come into contact with certain fields of natural cosmic radiation or energy that envelopes our planet and influences it for a time to come. The nature of this influence is manipulated then by human consciousness and behavior through the Rosh Hashanah observances. Rosh Hashanah is called the New Year. This is a false translation. It's actually the head of the year. It is a marker of the passage of time. It has become a religious observance, but in reality, it is a scientific event of great significance. As our Earth makes its annual passage through its unique relationship with that group of stars we call Libra, we interact with natural cosmic energy fields that inhabit this part of space at the time when this passage occurs. These in turn express strong influence on everything here on Earth, and its influence is felt until the coming of the next year's passage. This is why the ancients called Rosh Hashanah the beginning of the new year and also the day of judgment. They never meant this in a religious or mystical way. They very well knew and understood the astronomical nature of this event and observed it accordingly. Yet the sages of ancient Israel were not the first to become aware of this relationship. Page 31. Centuries before the receiving of Torah on Sinai, the ancient Chaldeans and possibly earlier civilizations developed what we today call the 12 signs of the zodiac. In essence, they ascribed to them attributes. In essence, they created pictures out of groups of stars that were shining in the night sky. They gave them names and ascribed to them attributes. They taught that as Earth rotates around the sun and our planet's astronomical position shifts in relationship to these stars, that there are fluctuations in some type of natural cosmic radiation that extends its influence over matter. And this influence is over the matters here on our Earth and upon us. Today we call this astrology. Many today seek it to dismiss it as old and foolish folklore. However, throughout human history and even today, in almost every culture and society worldwide, including many modern secular circles of big business and politics, astrology is still highly respected and revered for what it has always been, a science. Unfortunately, modern astrology has become a pop fad, with daily horoscopes in the newspaper and the like. These should all be dismissed and not taken for anything other than entertainment. Real Hebrew astrology is not a predictive art for foretelling the future. It is actually a scientific explanation of what happens when our Earth passes through vortexes of natural cosmic radiations in its annual travel around our sun, and how these fields of energy have an influence over the Earth and everything on it, including us. Rosh Hashanah begins the Hebrew month called Tishrei. The astrological sign for this month is Libra, the scales of balance and justice. Remember, this picture of stars and this name was developed in a culture that existed far before and far away from Mount Sinai. The ancients already knew that what we call Tishrei was a time of reckoning, a time of judgment. Torah merely expanded upon and expanded what the ancients already knew. Torah revealed to us more about this time period than was previously known. Prior to Torah, the cosmic influences of Libra were known. The Torah came and taught us how we can interact with these fields and manipulate their influence for our betterment. More than this, we even have a biblical story alleging that this passage of time in relationship to Earth also influences matters happening on other worlds. Cosmic fields of radiation are expressions of natural law. They are not fabricated. They are not a myth. They are natural and a part of science. As such, we should not be surprised that their influence is felt far and beyond our own little corner of the galaxy. Somehow, regardless of differences in space or dimension, the relationship of stars and planets in synchronized time seems to have a binding factor for us here on Earth, with time, with some others, whomever and wherever they are. The biblical story I am speaking about is the book of Job. In the opening chapter, there is narrated a story about the sons of God discussing the affairs of the sons of men. The sons of God is described as the B'nai Elohim, the sons of the God attribute of judgment. True, maybe there is nothing more than a myth or a metaphor, but tradition relates that this gathering occurred on, of all days, Rosh Hashanah. Sons of God, B'nai Elohim, whoever or whatever they might be, are clearly not indigenous life forms on our Earth. They are clearly somewhere else in a domain that our myths call heaven. Who knows if heaven is an actuality, is in actuality another dimension of being, or possibly another planet or world in our own universe, or in a different universe. We have many unanswerable questions, Rather than argue about the unknowable, we can agree on what is known. The biblical account is associating with Rosh Hashanah's Day of Judgment. Type characteristics similar to the ancients representing this period of time in the stars by the signs of a scale, the Libra, signifying balance and judgment. Page 32. In Torah legend, Rosh Hashanah is described not as the day the earth was created, but rather as the day Adam first came to this planet. The biblical tale tells us how God created Adam out of the dust of the earth from the Garden of Eden. This is a lovely metaphor for our humble beginnings. However, the guardians of the secrets of the Torah revealed to us a rather shocking revelation about Adam. Prior to his being in our present human form, he was originally created in a much different form, one that the Bible calls Tzelem Elohim, the image of the God. We only took our present form as Homo sapiens as a result of the fall in Eden. Yet prior to this, we are taught that we were physically rather different from how we appear today. Indeed, the guardians of the Torah, which are the Kabbalists, the guardians of Torah secrets, actually suggest to us that the garden in which Adam was originally formed was not on the face of our earth at all. Without saying it outright, they hint that Adam might have had extraterrestrial origins. This insight adds extra meaning and significance to what we say that Rosh Hashanah was the day that Adam came to the earth. This hinting there are very serious descriptions and discussions throughout the Jewish sages, what is now called in today's language UFOs. Rabbi Bar Sadok is just hinting at this, describing it. He has another document of about 90 pages that tracks many of these descriptions by many different sages throughout the centuries. Does it mean that it is accurate? Does it mean that it is right? Does it mean that it happens in this physical world? I will leave to each of you to decide for yourself if you are interested in finding out. The important point of this discussion, of the present part of this discussion, is to realize that what happens on the day of Rosh Hashanah is a judgment about each individual human being. That judgment might be being made by each human being's soul. It might be being made by the sons of Elohim. It might be being made by a Bet Din, a court of justice, composed of other entities. It may be being made by a court composed of Hashem himself. The next paragraph. When I speak about interactive energy fields operating within natural law, I include within this the energy fields operating within the human being, both physically and psychologically, in which is included the spiritual levels. Through our technology, we have all become familiar with what we know as electromagnetic fields. Most of our technological devices project such fields. They are real and very much have an effect upon things around them. What we often fail to pay attention to is that we human beings also generate our own electromagnetic fields. I am not speaking about some fantasy energy auras. I am speaking about brainwaves, very real, very measurable fields of energy that are generated by our own brains and thoughts. Just as the electromagnetic field of our cell phones can have effect upon us physically, so too can the electromagnetic fields that are generated by and project human consciousness. Electromagnetic fields exist throughout the universe. Indeed, underlying the entire universe, scientists can still detect the energy field that they say is left over from the moment of the Big Bang. Energy is everywhere. Energy is everything. We human beings are, in essence, packets of energy. We are integral components of the universe. We fit into the universe like cogs in a machine. We are connected to the greater whole. What happens in one area of the machine has an effect on other areas. Our universe is one giant machine, and we are all parts in it, with distant parts having an effect on one another. All in accordance to the machine's design and operations. The interrelationship of everything in the universe is substantiated by science in what today I believe is called M-theory, or which is short for membrane theory. Page 33. Membrane theory believes that prior to the Big Bang, our entire universe was an empty dimensional plane. It was only when a nearby parallel universe collided with our empty dimensional plane at a specific point, that energy from the full one spewed out into the empty one. And later, that energy concealed to form physical matter. From this point of singular primordial energy came the diversity of the universe. That term, spewed out, can be related to the concept of the male ejaculation into the female womb. Continuing. Ultimately, therefore, everything in the universe came from the same source and is therefore somehow still connected to it. Indeed, M-theory states that everything in the universe is still somehow connected, and therefore any one thing can somehow affect any and every other thing. If you will allow my use of a metaphor, creation was almost as if the other dimension penetrated our dimension, ejaculated in it, and impregnated it, our growing universe, and us being the children. I use this metaphor because the guardians of Torah secrets, the Kabbalists, speak in sexual metaphorical terms to describe the relationship between dimensions known as Zeranpin and the Nokh, the Nukva, the spiritual and the physical. There might be more to this set of terms than mere metaphor. That is a question you will need to decide for yourself. The interaction of primordial cosmic radiation fields affects everything, including human consciousness. King Solomon wrote that there is a time and place for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to sow. These nice words are much more than beautiful poetry. Solomon, who was a keeper of the secrets, was actually discussing natural laws and how cosmic energy fields bombard Earth in a relatively mechanical, timely manner, influencing shifts in collective human consciousness and thereby influencing the shifting and shifting the course of events on the Earth, be they political, social, or economic. The cosmic interaction between Earth, radiation fields, and their influence upon human consciousness is by no means generic. The interactions never affect two people or two places in the exact same way. As each point in space is finite and subjective, so too is each monad of human consciousness. Each unit of consciousness is what we call a soul. As each of us go through our daily lives, oblivious to anything happening in the universe, we regularly pass through specific fields of cosmic energy bombarding our planet. Some are large and can affect all of humanity. Some can affect only a relative physical locality. Some vibrate at a specific resonance that affect only individuals of a certain orientation of consciousness. Everything is subjective and relative, yet everything operates according to the natural laws of the universe in its own version of mechanical form. This is a paragraph that needs to be contemplated in order for you to recognize the truth of these statements. Authentic astrology is the science of understanding how natural cosmic fields present in the universe affect life on Earth as Earth passes through them and is influenced by them. These influences are scientific and not mystical. The nature of these energy fields are some form of electromagnetism that may or may not be detectable by means known to present science. The nature of the influence that energetic fields have on human consciousness can be displayed in the laboratory. What is even more radical than this is the influence that human consciousness can have on energy fields. It is a well-known principle of quantum physics that atomic particles react in a different manner when they are being watched as to when they are not being watched. The nature of the observation affects them and creates an effect. Our universe, our planet, and our race all operate in this quantum reality. So too does our Torah. Torah is not a mere book about religion and stories of legend. It is an extraterrestrial communique of a quantum nature and contains within it significant scientific lessons. If we ever bothered to explore Torah scientifically and mathematically, we would make discoveries so profound that they would enable us to find our collective way back home to the stars from which we came. Page 34. Torah directs its recipients to perform specific ritual acts in very precise, specific ways, in very precise, specific moments. The details can be as complicated and precise as operating a technical piece of a machinery or operating software on a computer. If the lessons of the Torah were merely symbolic and mythical in nature, then all the details would be superfluous and unnecessary. Yet the fact that such details exist with such precision indicates to us that there is a reason for their being. A scientific exploration of Torah rituals reveals to us how human consciousness influences and affects not only human behavior, but also the electromagnetic fields, the brain waves that they generate. The significant ritual associated with Rosh Hashanah is the blowing of the shofar, a ram's horn. Very precise details are given how a shofar is to be made, how it is to be blown, and even how it is to be held in one's hand. Again, if this were all a metaphor, the details would be superfluous. However, the ritual of blowing the shofar, when performed properly, combining all the necessary elements, creates a manipulation of subtle cosmic energy that have a profound effect upon human consciousness. Thus, we have the synthesis of time, space, action, and consciousness, each interacting with and influencing one another. The blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is in actuality an implementation of natural scientific programs for facilitating the smooth flow of energy fields functioning within the universal machine. As an extraterrestrial communique, would we expect anything in the Torah to be any less profound? Human consciousness is the vital key that can influence all the other energy fields in the universe. The untapped powers of consciousness are today called ESP, extrasensory perception. We all have these abilities. They are part of our being human. They operate and function autonomously, whether or not we are aware of them. This is also why we can always be influenced by forces from afar, afar in time and afar in place. This is also why when we train our minds properly, we in turn can influence forces from afar, afar in time and afar in space. In order to assist us to accomplish this, we perform rituals. We call them mitzvot. These have deep archetypal meanings in the unconscious and therefore affect us deeply when we interact with them by our performance of them. This paragraph will become significantly more meaningful next Sunday as I discuss what is the energy of the coming new year, the year 5779, known as Tafshin Ayin Tet. Torah commandments or mitzvot are expressions of scientific universal principles. When we perform them properly, we are creating influences and subtle shifts of cosmic energy that have a great effect upon ourselves and our surroundings. Knowing the meaning of the time of Rosh Hashanah is one thing. Knowing what to do at that time is another. This would have been impossible for humanity to discover had it not been for the reception of the Torah. As the alignment between Earth and Libra occurs, the doorway that brought us to Earth reopens as it was in the beginning. When Adam came to Earth and stood at that metaphorical place in his descent, he was still fully connected to his source, receiving 100% of the energy that his source provided. Now, at this same time every year, we, Adam's descendants, return to the same place that Adam stood. Yet what exactly is our individual relationship to the original place of Adam? Are we fully there or only partially there? Are we in direct alignment with the flow of natural cosmic energy emanating from our source, or are we somewhat out of sync? Page 35, with it. Where we stand on Rosh Hashanah defines for us how much of a recognition we each individually made. This is what defines what we religiously call blessing and curse. Mind you, where we stand is not a statement of physicality. Rather, it means where our minds and souls are in a relationship to our inner human potential and source. Above usually is a metaphor for another non-physical realm or dimension where the power of mind rules supreme outside of the influence of finite matter. However, even such a place must have its correlate, its counterpart here in the physical space. Above, therefore, is a parallel dimensional plane, possibly the one spoken of previously in relationship to the M theory, which according to the secrets of the Torah we call Eden. Yet this dimensional plane has its entrance here in the physical space, most likely in appropriately protected areas right here on Earth. As the Torah states, there is a revolving sword of fire guarding the way to Eden. Our relationship with the cosmic energy field that flows from that other dimensional plane to ours defines for us almost everything in life, including our time of death. Indeed, the influx from the other dimension that began our dimension is the secret of life. The original influx ejaculated into our dimension. Then and now is the energy that Torah calls nefesh and the Chinese called ki or chi. This is pure and raw life force. Energy that is the fundamental power of creation and form. This is the indwelling presence of Hashem, imbuing everything in the universe. And in Torah tradition, is called the Shekhinah. This is why Rosh Hashanah is Judgment Day. On this day, we travel through space and time. We return to our place of origin. The original window of Nefesh cosmic energy is there, flowing down in its original abundance. How we stand at that moment in relationship to it defines for us how much of a portion we will be able to maintain for the year. Until our return to that place, there is no greater judgment than this. Yet it is only a metaphor to say that heaven or God is judging us. Rather, it is we ourselves that are judging ourselves. Our psychological, spiritual state in relationship to our true inner, higher self, our inner Adam, defines for us our portion and prescribes how we will be influenced over the coming year. That higher self that we people refer to all the time, what is that higher self? Oh, it's a higher level of soul. But what does that mean? And can that higher level of soul be inside my body right now? Can I be that perfect level of serenity that the higher soul of myself is supposed to represent? On Rosh Hashanah, that higher level of soul is renewed with the energy of life for the year. That higher level of soul is within me. Knowing well the full extent of our quantum universe, the Torah formed for us mitzvot that serve as archetypes that enable our true human essence to reconnect with our higher other dimensional source. This happens in a very precise and specified fashion, as do all other things in the laws and ways of nature. The Rosh Hashanah blowing of the shofar is a perfect example of this. We blow the shofar in order to arouse us to inner contemplation, an outer repair of bad character, and other immoral or illegal behavior. This is our desire. This is not done in some silly symbolic way. There is actually a science to the shofar, to its sounds, and the mental contemplations projecting from the brain waves of the one doing the blowing or the one hearing the blowing. And let me stress this one important point. The mitzvah is not to hear the shofar, although that is required. The mitzvah is to know the blowing of the shofar. And what is the difference between knowing and hearing? Is a level of consciousness as distant from each other as light is from darkness. That is my opinion. We blow the shofar in order to arouse us to inner contemplation and outer repair of bad character and other immoral or illegal behavior. This is not done in some silly symbolic way. It's done with a science, with a clear understanding. We will be discussing this. The shofar is not a musical instrument. It is an instrument of sound. Sound, like electromagnetic fields, have produced effects upon everything around them. Sound waves can kill, and sound waves can heal. Sound waves can create, and sound waves can destroy. It is said that Hashem created the universe, speaking it into being. When Hashem spoke was a unique combination of sounds. Interestingly, modern science believes that the smallest particles of subatomic matter are called strings. Their vibrations form larger particles that eventually form atoms, molecules, and the rest of our universe of physical matter. Sound is thus the foundation of our universe. Everything comes forth from it. It is no wonder, then, that the shofar expresses a sound that is primordial. The shofar creates a sound that speaks to the inner essence of our being. Its sound contains a wealth of information, unknowable and undecipherable to rational consciousness. Torah dictates that the shofar is to be made from the horn of a kosher animal. The details for making the shofar are not important for us to know the sound of the shofar. What is important is what the shofar is used for. We blow the shofar during Rosh Hashanah prayers. It is supposed to arouse us to contemplate bettering our lives, becoming a better person. While many religious and moral teachings are taught about Rosh Hashanah and the blowing of the shofar, it is only the guardians of the Torah secrets, the Kabbalists, who's revealed to us exactly how the blowing of the shofar works to alter human consciousness, and by doing this, alter and reconstruct the reality of our lives. In brief, the language of the Kabbalah states that the sephirotic face of Bina, called Ima, the mother, is the one who blows the shofar above. She is said to blow the shofar over the head of her son, the sephirotic face of Tiferet, called Zeranpin. In synagogues today, the shofar is always held with its opening facing up. However, the Kabbalah teaches that its opening is supposed to be facing down, corresponding to the supernal pattern. The guardians of Torah secrets were masters of metaphor. They concealed a tremendous amount of psychological and scientific information within their mystical codes. In order to appreciate the scientific nature of the shofar and how it influences fluctuations of the cosmic energy fields vibrating on this day, we have to strip the Kabbalistic metaphors of their myths and explain what really happens. We will be discussing this, the balance of this essay, before Rosh Hashanah. More than likely, it's going to be replacing for this 1 week the Wednesday class that is normally questions and answers. We will finish our teachings of the shofar and the mechanics of affecting cosmic energy and influencing it to have a better life for each of and every one of the human beings in the world. We are going to stop the class here. Does anyone have a question? I'm going to unmute the phone so you'll be able to ask more easily. Are there any questions? This afternoon at 3 o'clock West Coast time, we will have a class on advanced reincarnation. And tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., we will have a sleep out service, as we've been doing every day since Rosh Chodesh Elul. Tomorrow evening, we will have a deeper Zohar class at 4:30. And we will have at 7 o'clock West Coast time Monday evening, we will have a class based on the writings of the Ari HaKadosh. Shalom to all. Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
On the blowing of the shofar, Tua and all the various notes of the shofar, that has control, if you know that, that has control over your boxes, your cells, that... How can you understand the relationship of each particular blow, which area of you it is affecting, so you have some more understanding and control of that? You understand what I'm saying?
I understand your question very well, and it's an excellent question. What Bernice is asking is why or what of the 100 blows that take place in the Orthodox tradition, or the 101 blows, or the 10 blows, which is really 30 blows, that take place in the Reformed tradition, or anywhere in between, how do those blows affect specific parts of our body and our soul? Generally speaking, Bernice, they affect your consciousness. But your consciousness affects your body and your soul. So within your consciousness, there are elements, there are places, there are aspects that affect different parts of your body. I know you are familiar with the Tikkun HaNefesh chart that we utilize along with the Ana Bekoach. The blows relate to the Sephirot. If you're blowing 101, essentially you're blowing 10 times 10 plus 1. That 10 times 10 is the 10 Sephirot within 10 Sephirot. That is affecting each of the 10 Sephirot of your body. And the chart of the Tikkun HaNefesh will help you clarify which belongs to which. It takes study. It takes preparation. But if you think about what I've just said, you'll understand as you're listening to the blows meaning the shofar blasts, you'll know which part of your body and your soul, which part of your consciousness is being affected. Are there any other questions? I bid you all a beautiful week. Shavuot Tov. Shalom Gadol to all. A large amount of serenity in your life. Contemplate well. Prepare well for Rosh Hashanah and this coming energy of this new year, 5779, is truly a beautiful potential year that it will be up to you to manifest and make actual in your life. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
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 Shalom.